see them continue the good work that they're doing. And that's a summary of my comments. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for this witness? Thank you for coming this afternoon. Did you have some materials that you wanted to leave with us?
No, actually, I do have a report, Mr. Chairman, that we published at the Adolescent Recovery Program at Sacred Heart Hospital, which talks about the high number of adolescents that come into treatment with marijuana being the primary drug of choice.
If you'd be willing to leave that with us, it'd be very helpful.
I would be willing to.
Or if you could send us a copy of that.
I can leave this. I'm sorry I don't have 17 copies for you, but I'll leave what I have.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Rosanna Creighton.
Good afternoon, Acting Chair Mannix and committee. As you know, I can tell you about marijuana. You've heard it, so I'm not going to, but I gave you some papers so that when you want to pull the file or you need to have backup material when you go on the floor, you can. I have just a few comments that haven't been made that I would like to make. This is identical to Senate Bill 463, which was introduced for Citizens for a Drug-Free Oregon. And for the record, my name is Rosanna Creighton, Executive Director. And Representative Baum, I want you to know I am speaking right now for House Bill 2479, but I am not against these other bills. I want to make a few comments about that. And you'll have to be patient because I have to skip through all of this. I have given you information about the background of Oregon's decrim law, and that might be interesting to you at another time. The marijuana industry in Oregon. One thing that needs to be noted is that it's reported that brokers now are running the outdoor grow operations in Northern California and Oregon. And these brokers subcontract, and the subcontractors hire local labor at about $200 a day or illegal aliens to run and take care of their cultivation activities on the national forest lands. These plants are worth about $3,500 a pound, and they yield anywhere from 1 to 2 pounds. This is information from the government. So then it goes into the psychoactive effects of marijuana. I wanted to talk to you about user accountability. I think that the time has come where that we hold the users accountable for the choices they make, and that there would be no illegal drug operations and no misuse and violence in our forests and no vulnerability of our youth, no great profits in trafficking marijuana, unless we smoked marijuana one joint at a time and bought it at 1 ounce at a time. And House Bill 2479 is written to put the possession of small amounts of marijuana in perspective. Now, our committee discussed this, and I am sorry we didn't discuss it more at length, but at the time that we decided to keep it as a violation and increase the fines, we were concerned about the current shortage of adequate jail and prison cells and the overburden to the criminal justice system, so we decided to remain at civil penalties. Also, for 4 years, the marijuana legalization proponents have been saying that marijuana users should pay for education and treatment, and isn't that a splendid idea? So we decided to take their advice, and we have written in that juvenile treatment and prevention will be funded by these monies.
I noticed you had another amendment also to make it read the Office of, and we'll correct
Oh,
that.
Yes, I skipped over that because Sorry, I was trying to be brief. Yes, we are in agreement with the amendment to add treatment, and I do ask you to clarify on line 7, it needs to read the Office of Alcohol and Drug Abuse Programs. Thank you, Representative. The main ideas of whatever law you adopt, and I know you're going to be considering 4 bills, and this is just one of them. This is what our organization wishes to accomplish. We want to hold the user accountable. We want to send a strong message to our youth and citizens that marijuana is a dangerous drug and is not acceptable in Oregon. We want a law that is practical and will be consistently and continuously enforced so it won't become meaningless. And that's what I ask you to consider when you consider these four bills. If it isn't consistently and continuously enforced, then it just becomes another joke, and we don't want that to happen. And of course, we want to generate revenues for our juveniles. I thank you. I've attached some attachments, the Amtrak engineer that killed 16 people and injured.
I'm going to cut you short on that because we have
just
seen
look
that
at
marijuana
these.
Affects pilots and linked with stunted babies and so on.
Right. Representative Mannix, also, this gives you a listing of the laws on possession in other states. I think that would be useful if you have a study group.
Thank you
thank
very
you.
Much. Any questions from the representatives on the committee? Thank you, Ms. Creighton. We have one other witness to testify, Barbara Crocker for Representative Campbell. Sorry to keep you waiting.
Chair, members of the committee, my name is Barbara Crocker. I'm here testifying on behalf of Larry Campbell, state representative from District 43 in Eugene. Representative Campbell supports basically all four of the bills that will be presented to you today, but he wanted to point out that you may receive some opposition because there's no graduated penalties depending on the amount found in possession at the time.
I have good news for you. So far, we haven't heard any opposition to this first bill.
Well, that's good. We only have one suggestion that we'd like to bring forward to you from one of the Lane County district attorneys when we discussed these bills with him. He said that you might want to look at a graduated scale of penalties, and what was suggested is when found in possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana, a C misdemeanor, 1 to 5 ounces, a B misdemeanor, 5 to 10 ounces. I know we're getting into the larger range and these bills only deal with small amounts, but 5 to 10 ounces, an A misdemeanor, 10 to 15 ounces, a C felony, and 1 pound and up, a B felony. When you get up to the larger amounts, you know you're dealing with the growers and the dealers at that point. At this point, Representative Ray Baum's bill, House Bill 3157, comes the closest to this type of a penalty system.
I imagine that we'll be working on all four of these bills in tandem to make sure that we work through the whole process and balance things out.
Good. Okay. And I would also like to point out that in talking to the assistant DAs, they felt that right now they couldn't get too excited about the marijuana until they could first deal with the crank and meth dealers and users, to which to them are much more serious offenders. And at this point, they would rather lock up the meth and crank dealers first, followed by the more serious marijuana dealers. And we'd also like to point out that the new sentencing guidelines just came out for the crank and meth convictions. And after 2 to 3 convictions, they still won't receive any incarceration time.
Well,
and
I'd
it
like
isn't until the fourth time.
We're going to make sure that there's a good discussion about the sentencing guidelines.
Okay. I'd also like to mention quickly is the violations. With a violation, they receive no, the judge cannot sentence them for any probation. They can only basically have a fine. And if you do have them set up for a misdemeanor, the judge has a chance to give them probation time with guidelines, jail time and or a fine. And from the testimony you can see down in Lane County, currently for the first, second, and third offenses, it's minimal fines for a violation, $27 to $57 for the first one, $57 to $75 for the second offense, and it's not until a third offense that they even get close to the maximum violation penalty. And basically, we just wanted to point out that a graduated scale may work, and to this assistant district attorney, he felt that something like this may be more workable and more realistic to implement.
Thank you very much, Ms. Crocker. Are there any questions for Ms. Crocker?
Thank you.
I have no other witnesses signed up on this bill. Are there any other witnesses here for the public hearing on House Bill 2479? Seeing none, we'll conclude the public hearing on that. Wait, did I miss? Was there a witness back there?
No, he
just stood up. That's all right.
2479.
Public hearing is concluded, and I will hand the gavel over to Vice Chair Randy Miller. Public ceremony. Public ceremony.
We're going to open the work session on House Bill 2469. Council?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, first of all, you should have an albeit sloppy, hand-engrossed version of the bill as amended or proposed to be amended in front of you. So you might wish to refer to that. It should be rather bulky. It's quite a few pages. On 2416 with the dash two amendments, establishes procedures for use of mobile tracking device, creates a statute authorizing interception of electronic communications, conforms Oregon law to federal law by allowing interception of cordless telephone communications without a court order, and allows use of pen registers and trap and tracers. The bill is obviously very complicated, and you have your summaries, and we have reviewed the bill extensively before. The use of most of these devices is authorized by federal law if the state law has a statute authorizing such use, and 2469 is providing this authorization. The amendments delete Section 3, and this is all described in the measure summary, clarifies Section 6, and I've made one addition to Section 6, which should be on your hand-engrossed version. Which clarifies that the definition of electronic communication does not include any communication which is completely by wire, like a traditional telephone conversation, but does include communications partially by wire, like digital pagers. Section 14, subsection 8, allows, without a court order, the interception of amateur, CB, and mobile radio transmissions. And Mr. Shepherd was nice enough to provide us with that language. The use of scanners by private parties to intercept unscrambled radio transmissions of law enforcement is not permitted under these amendments. I would recommend adding a media exemption so that reporters and air traffic control people, et cetera, can use the scanners for legitimate purposes. And having a lot of insight, Mr. Shepherd came to this subcommittee today armed with those. So I think we have language in front of us.
May I inquire of counsel, Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative Maddox.
Now, the dash two amendments have been incorporated in the hand-engrossed version.
Correct.
So what we have now is what we had worked over last time at the last work session with a little bit of correction in regard to the oral communication, and now we have one other set of potential amendments. Have the dash two amendments been formally adopted at a prior work session?
No, I believe not.
Then, Mr. Chairman, I move adoption of the dash two amendments, which are reflected in the hand engrossed version.
Representative Mannix moves adoption of House Bill 2469-2 amendments. Is there discussion? Representative Calori?
I do. The reference in here at various places, I guess, to wire. Could you go back over those again?
Counsel?
Yes.
I don't think I understand the question, I'm sorry.
Well, you there were some places in here where you were talking about transmissions by wire and completely by wire.
Okay, that was in one section.
It's on page three.
Three, yeah.
Okay. We want the definition of electronic communications not to include communications which are completely by wire, but to include communications which are partially by wire. Last time, we did adopt something that amended it, but it didn't quite do the trick, which is why I have further language, if I can get to it.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Calori.
I guess I'd like to ask a question. Are you assuming that telephone communications are by wire?
I believe so.
Wrong.
Is that not right?
Microwave.
There's probably more by microwave than there are by wire, so if that's what you're getting at, you're off base.
Could Mr. Shepherd, perhaps?
Mr. Shepherd, would you like to help us out?
I will if I can.
Call order.
Mr. Chair, Representative Calori, I think that the intent of counsel, as I understand it, and what the amendment does accomplish is to say that the definition of electronic communication, which is a new category of communications which will now be protected under the bill, will not include communications which are solely by wire. But any communication which is partially by wire would be within the definition of electronic communication and therefore be protected.
That sounds better.
These amendments seem to say that electronic communication definition will include those communications which are partially by wire. So we want to do the opposite of that?
No.
Okay.
partially wire communications under the bill with the amendment that's been proposed will be electronic communications protected, and as to which you would require an order to intercept. And an example of a partial wire communication might be a pager communication, because one would telephone the pager number using the wire of the telephone, some portion of the telephone system. And then there would be a radio or microwave broadcast to the pager, which would make that a mixed communication. That would be an electronic communication under the bill, which would be protected and which one could not intercept unless you obtained an order.
I guess the question here then is, if we are exempting any communication which is completely by wire, why are we exempting such?
Those, Mr. Chair, Representative Mannix, those are only exempt in the sense that they are not defined to be electronic communications. They are still protected from interception because the bill and the existing law protects wire communications.
Thank you.
There's no exposure to interception here as a result of this amendment. This is simply to clarify what electronic communication means.
Can I modify my motion?
Mannix?
I should have said to incorporate the dash two amendments and the other amendments as shown on the hand engrossed version.
Chair, you might wish to add the language.
I'll make a separate motion on that. I'm just amending the bill right now as shown on the hand engrossed version.
Mannix amendment.
Yes.
Brian?
Aye.
Colors?
Aye.
Courtney?
Yes.
Aye.
Chair Miller?
Aye. They're adopted. Representative Mannix?
I move the additional amendment that's just been distributed that starts the prohibitions in subsections 1A, C, D, et cetera, be adopted.
Representative Mannix moves the, describe those amendments again, Representative Mannix.
It's on this page that's now coded 0312Y, and I would ask, I am going to ask for an explanation by Mr. Shepherd of the reason for this, but I wanted to get the motion in front of us.
Representative Mannix moves the amendments located in the document Mark 0312Y. You all locate that?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
To your motion, Representative Mannix?
I think it's a good idea to exempt people who are just monitoring standard communications of the nature listed in this amendment. And in fact, I'm glad that Mr. Shepherd and counsel thought of this. And perhaps Mr. Shepherd could explain the rationale further, if that's all right, Mr. Chairman.
Shepherd?
Chair, Representative Mannix, the intent of this amendment, which I drafted as a courtesy to counsel, is to provide that the news media may use these scanners which monitor police agencies and not be in violation of the statute which prohibits interception of radio communications. In my opinion, existing Oregon law makes the use of such scanners for that purpose unlawful. This would make it lawful.
It would make it lawful for people in the news media, but not others.
That's correct.
So that I can't go down to Stereo Superstores, buy a Bearcat scanner, and that, is that right?
Chair, Representative Corey, I believe that's the law now,
Odd
as it seems.
Yes.
And let me explain why this was drafted to be limited to the news media. I have had personal experience with cases in which we executed search warrants looking for drugs and found that the people in the house knew we were coming because some police officer had been careless with the radio procedure and the drug dealer was monitoring the radio transmission. I think that drug dealer committed a crime, and this would preserve that option for charging.
Representative Mannix?
Don't the current laws envision some sort of intent? That is, when you're listening in on the scanner, you have some intent to use it to further your illegal enterprise?
Chair, Representative Mannix, they do not.
I guess we'll deal with that another day. Thank you.
Chair, Representative Mannix, this legislature could, consistent with the federal legislation, establish a complete exemption so that any person could use such scanners for any purpose. That would be consistent with the federal law. I don't want to leave the committee with the impression that you could not do that if you chose not to, chose to do so.
Representative Bryan?
I would be concerned that I think of volunteer firemen, spouses of police officers, and other tow truck operators who listen to scanners continually for a variety of reasons which are not improper that I wouldn't want to see us eliminate unless we absolutely have to.
Mr. Chair, Representative Bryan, I thought some about volunteer fire departments, for example. One out for a person would be that they were receiving that transmission with the consent of the broadcaster, because the consensual interception of radio communications is not a violation of the Oregon law. So anyone who had a scanner for some business-related purpose and they were monitoring the scanner in connection with that business, monitoring broadcast by that business, be it volunteer fire department or some other organization. But it is correct that that would not cover the case of a spouse who was monitoring the scanner.
Representative Bryan?
Okay. Just wondering if we're a little overly broad in this. I mean, I think of one of my old pets as a radar detector, for which the only purpose in life is to help avoid the law, and I can't seem to generate any interest in banning radar detectors. Here are scanners for which number of appropriate and legal uses, I think, far outnumber their abuse, and they're interested in banning them across the board and creating a process to accept them.
Mr. Chair, Representative Bryan, again, my only observation on this point is that there is no change. The existing law, in my view, prohibits all uses of those scanners. Unconsensual interceptions of radio communications. Nothing in 2469, as originally drafted, would have changed that rule. The proposed amendment would simply allow an exception to that general prohibition for the news media, certainly within the power of this committee to broaden that exception and to allow interception of scanner, use of scanners to intercept radio communications for other purposes.
Chairman?
Representative Mannix?
Mr. Shepard, why couldn't we just say, I don't like just doing it for the news media, because they're simply acting as the fourth estate, and they're doing it on behalf of the public's right to know, and so on and so forth. Why don't we just say, shall not apply to any person, go on with the rest of the language in this amendment, and then add at the end, provided such interception is not related to any criminal activity?
Chair, Representative Mannix, that would be consistent with the federal law, and I think would protect the interest I'm interested in.
And I would like to change my motion, Mr. Chairman, with the consent of the other members of the committee, to have it read, the prohibitions in subsections 1A, C, D, and E of this section shall not apply to any person, then delete connected with, employed by, or engaged in any medium or communication to the public. Take out that part. Pick up, who intercepts a radio communication which is transmitted by any governmental, law enforcement, civil defense, private land, mobile, or public safety communication system, including police and fire, readily accessible to the general public, that's important, provided such interception is not related to any criminal activity. And I move it that way. May I explain?
To your motion.
My purpose would be then the drug dealer who's monitoring the police transmission so that he can evade capture or evade the warrant, or anyone who's monitoring for illegal purposes, That is prohibited, but if they're just listening in and there's no illegal activity involved, no problem.
Discussion, Representative Clore.
This is the third bill in 2 days that I've seen where the news media went special treatment, and I'm starting to get a little keen about that myself. I would ask, by doing this, does it change what you were talking about a while ago about the possibility of having a scanner in the home, then? Would we be taking that or not?
Chair, Representative Clore, as I understand Representative Mannix's proposed amendment, the spouse who monitored the scanner in the home could do so as long as she wasn't, or he wasn't, doing so for a criminal purpose.
It would change the current law, then, is that correct?
It would change the current law, yes, okay. That's correct.
The question for the for the proposer here. Maybe a little far afield here, but the possibility of using this kind of interception for such things as to race out with an ambulance or with my attorney attaché case, I might even say, that is not particularly an illegal activity, but I
just unethical.
Well, anyway,
not unethical.
Well, the question is, you know, is that comprehensive enough? You know, does it have to be illegal, or I don't know how. I mean, when you start swinging the other way, then the question is, how far do you go that way, too?
Can I respond to that?
Yes, please.
My own reaction would be, we are criminalizing some conduct, and I'd want to. We may want to deal with something that some other way, but I'm just trying to not criminalize conduct for John Q. Citizen who's engaged in a
legal
activity. And on the other hand, I want us to still be able to use the hammer if we show that it was connected.
I just want to protect the busybodies of the world.
Brian?
Yeah, just as a matter of practicality or practice, unless things have changed, no law enforcement unit worth its salt is going to be blabbing away over the radio going into a execution of a warrant situation. I mean, 15 years ago, we had codes and practices to deal with that. Then I'm sure only more sophisticated now.
Mr. Chair, Representative Brian, mistakes happen, and I've seen them.
Further discussion
of the Mannix Amendment?
Representative Mannix or Council, will you just restate it one more time so we have a...
I've taken the original typewritten version and took out connected with, employed by, or engaged in any medium of communication to the public, and I've added at the end, provided such interception is not related to any criminal activity.
Thank you. Do members of the committee fully understand the amendment, the language in it?
Is there objection to the amendment?
Hearing none, it's adopted.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Mannix?
I move the bill as amended to the full committee with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Mannix moves House Bill 2469 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Discussion?
Call the roll.
Representatives Brian?
Aye.
Calori?
Aye.
Courtney?
Yes.
Manny?
Yes.
Baum?
Yes.
Chair Miller?
Aye. Close the work session on House Bill 2469, and I want to return briefly to the series of bills. A question. There was a gentleman who wanted to testify, I believe. Correct? We will open the hearing just very briefly, committee, on House Bill 2479. Or do you have a specific bill you wanted to address?
Excuse me. I think there's been quite a few. 2746, I believe.
All right. We'll open the hearing on House Bill 2746. Identify yourself for the record. Begin your testimony.
I am Rural Tarno, Sheriff of Coos County, and on behalf of the Oregon State Sheriff's Association, we are in support of House Bill 2746. Not having realized the inundation this committee has been under with a variety of bills pertaining to the use and abuse of marijuana, pot, grass, whatever it's wished to be called, I will make this very short and sweet. And I realize that you've got a task before you. We are in support of adding crime back into the law for the illegality of possessing small quantities of marijuana, to wit, a Class A misdemeanor. It's been my understanding that there's some concern about the lack of funds on behalf of the indigent defense people. I personally have some reservations about that. And I think that the message that we need to get across to our state and the folks within our state and to our kids is that it is now a crime to possess even small quantities and possessions and amounts of marijuana. Therefore, we ask this committee to endorse 2746. I have also a copy of a letter from the sheriff in Josephine County, a copy from our juvenile director in Coos County, and several copies of a message that I will not bother to read into the minutes at this point in time as opposed to just giving it to council for distribution.
Thank you. Questions for the witness?
Representative, you've had a chance to review the other bills that criminalize marijuana.
Yeah,
realizing that I've signed on to all three of those bills, when you state you favor 31, excuse me, it wasn't 31, it was
2746.
What's your view on the other two bills? They one of them makes it a B and C misdemeanor. The other one makes it, I think, A misdemeanors. These make felonies. Do you have a preference, or is your preference what you're stating to right now?
My preference is a Class A misdemeanor or higher degree of offense. A Class A misdemeanor gives the arresting officer or the investigating officer on the street the ability to evaluate the situation by far better than a Class C or B misdemeanor situation.
Okay, and then if you then the highest, then you're increasing the penalty to a felony in some instances. Then.
Felony as opposed to an A, but I'll take an A if I can get it.
Okay.